Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Mark chapter 2. Mark 2, we're going to begin reading at verse 23 of this chapter and then read through verse 6 of the next chapter. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23, what we hear now is God's Word. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the end of the initial controversy section in the book of Mark. We will see Jesus having other controversies later, but we said that we could look at Mark chapter 1 as the beginnings of his ministry and Mark chapter 2 as the initial controversies in his ministry. And we saw how those controversies actually escalated throughout the chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, we have his detractors going and thinking in their hearts certain things about him. And then later, they will go and they will talk with his disciples about him. And now tonight, on this encounter on the Sabbath day, they speak to Jesus directly. A controversy about the Sabbath. And I guess for any who think that the Word of God might be out of date, isn't it the case that we still have controversy about the Sabbath? Controversy about what we may and may not do. When I was at seminary, there were few topics that could gain quite as big of a discussion as simply to walk in the student lounge and say, "Let's talk about what you can do on Sunday." And the discussion was on. Now, it would be easy tonight for me to simply give you a list of things that you may and may not do. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for you, I don't have the authority to do that. I don't have the authority to tell you what you may and may not do. Because that would be the gospel according to me. And you've not come to hear that. But we're going to look tonight at Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And he most certainly does have the authority. He most certainly does possess the power as Lord over the day to tell us, to instruct us how to use the day. I think all of us would agree there is a command that we keep the Lord's day holy. How we apply that will be directed in our particular context. But Jesus Christ comes to remind us of the basics of the Sabbath, because he is Lord of the Sabbath. He has authority to explain the day to us. And first of all, we see that the Sabbath was given for the fulfilling of our needs. Jesus, one Sabbath day, is walking along through the grain fields. And as they made their way along, his disciples begin to pluck the heads of grain. When the Pharisees see that, they say to Jesus, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now, what was wrong with plucking heads of grain on the Sabbath? Interestingly enough, it was not that they were taking someone else's grain. In fact, there was provision for that in the law. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, we read, if you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. It was allowed to walk through someone else's grain field, pluck some of the grain, and eat it. It was not that they were stealing. That wasn't what bothered the Pharisees. But what the Pharisees had done with regard to the Sabbath is they had constructed all kinds of extra laws around it. They had made minute prescriptions for what putting a sickle to the grain might mean and what harvesting might mean. The Pharisees had outlined 39 different acts of work that were forbidden on the Sabbath. And in each one of those acts of work, there were 6 different subdivisions. They had almost 240 rules for what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And they see the disciples plucking these heads of grain. Although it is lawful, somehow they were breaking one of those human, man-made traditions. And the Pharisees say, why are they doing what is unlawful? I have to wonder sometimes, in our own history, if perhaps we are guilty of building up traditions around Sunday and giving those traditions the force of law. It is a different day. We do different things on the Lord's Day. It is a day set aside. But we must always be careful that we not allow our application of the good law of God to take us away from the heart of the law of God. It is a day of rest and a day of gladness. A day of rest and a day of refreshment. I think it's particularly hard for parents with children. We want to teach our kids, this is a special day. This is a day given to us by God, set aside as a special day at the beginning of the week. But while we teach them that, we must also teach them why it is we do certain things and don't do other things, and not allow the rules to overrun the day. Because then we begin to serve the Sabbath and not serve the Lord of the Sabbath. We will apply the rule of God to keep His day holy in each of our homes, with our children. But as we do that, we don't simply lay out for our children a set of do's and don'ts. Here's the rules for Sunday. But we teach them about the heart of the day. A day set aside for rest. Jesus will teach about what the Sabbath is for. They come and ask him the question. He answers, have you never read what David did? He's going to give them a history lesson, reminding them of their own history. Rabbis would often go back to the Old Testament stories and make application for today. That's what Jesus is doing. Haven't you ever read what David did? How David, when he was in need and was hungry, and those who were with him, went to the house of God, and they ate the bread of the presence that was not lawful for any but the priest to eat. Children, there was this bread that was set aside, sometimes called the show bread. It was special only for the priest. Only the priest could eat it. But when David comes with his men, and they are in need, the priest realized the heart of the command. That rather than they keep the ceremony, they meet the needs of those who came to them. Rather than be concerned about external obedience, it was an internal requirement to care for those God brought to them. And so too with our teaching about the Sabbath. It is a day for fulfilling our needs,
Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. Think about that in the creation week. Which came first? Man was made on the sixth day. He was given a task to do. He was given work to do. And the next thing God does is he sets apart a day for rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not the other way around. Man was not made to serve a day, but the day was given to help him in his service to God. Man left to himself needs to be reminded of that, that there is a day of rest, a day to refrain from our daily work. We see too many times that we get so busy in our lives and we think that by working more and more and more, we'll get ahead. And we would work 7 days a week if we got the chance. But God says, no. You need to have your needs fulfilled. You need rest. You need food. You need refreshment. I have placed in the very structure of creation, in the very fabric of time, a day of rest and gladness. The Sabbath was made for you. We may not neglect enjoying the beauty of the day, enjoying the beauty of feeding upon the bread of life, feeding upon the Word of God, that as God calls us to worship Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we gather with joy around His Word to once again be instructed in our faith, to hear the glorious words of the gospel, the reminder of our forgiveness in Jesus Christ. God gives us a day to have our spiritual needs met. The Sabbath was made for man, a day of rest and gladness. Jesus' teaching is that we may not get caught up in the minutia of our tradition. We don't want to blindly throw away tradition. But neither may we elevate it to the status of law. The law is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. A day of rest. A day to fulfill our spiritual needs. And then we read this other encounter, again on the Sabbath. And he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. Again, break one of their man-made rules. And Jesus is going to teach a second principle, a second reason the Sabbath day was given. So he calls the man out. Come here, he says to the man with withered hand. And he asks them a question. Again, good rabbinical style, engaging in the dialogue. He says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? Well, children, you know the answer to that. Is it lawful to do good or to do bad on Sunday? Is it lawful to help someone or to hurt someone? To ask the question is to answer it. The answer is obvious. It is for good that the Sabbath was given to us, for showing mercy to others. But they would not acknowledge that. They'd rather live in their man-made tradition than allow the glory of the Sabbath day to shine through. We read, they were silent. They wouldn't answer Jesus' question. They wouldn't engage in the dialogue. They knew they had been beaten. And Jesus responds to them. At their silence, we read that he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And so says to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Jesus ministers mercy on the Sabbath. Again, I guess I have to ask the question, what about us? Do we spend the day not only being refreshed in our own needs, but using the day in service to others, using the day to show mercy to those around us, those inside of our congregation, those outside of our congregation. We are so busy during the week. Our days, our nights are so full that we don't have time to maybe show the ministry of mercy we would like to visit with someone, to make a phone call, to write a letter. And yet, on Sunday, do we use the day? Do we embrace the day? Do we say, this is the day God's given to us to show mercy toward others? Or do we let the day slip by without engaging in the activities proper for the Lord's day? Again, it is difficult for us to train our children. So often we think of Sunday as a day that we don't do certain things. But we have to train them, it is a day that we do certain things. A day that we spend time, perhaps, together as a family in prayer or in song. It is a time that we spend giving ourselves to care for other people. A phone call to those who have been missing from church from a week or two. We want to just check and see if they're okay. And it never seems to get done during the week. A phone call to some who's struggling with illness or with injury. Showing mercy to those around us. A visit to someone else in town. It's a day to be used to show mercy, to show concern, to show compassion. Jesus says to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and the hand was restored. Jesus heals and shows mercy as a picture of how we should use the Christian Sabbath day. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is the one who has the authority to teach. He has the authority to instruct, the authority to tell them, look, it is a day for fulfilling our needs and showing mercy to others. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And perhaps it has been a danger of ours to refuse to see Him as that Lord, as that one who does have the authority. We think we can do whatever we want. But Jesus has given us His Word. He has taught us to apply His principles for how we might best keep the Lord's day holy and honor Him. Perhaps we have erred in not recognizing Him as Lord of the Sabbath. But there's another danger. A danger into which it is so easy for us to fall. And that is thinking that He is Lord only of the Sabbath. That if we have done what we can to honor Him on Sunday, that our service to Him is complete. That the rest of the week is ours to do with what we want. Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath, meaning the Sabbath and everything that follows it. He is not Lord only of the Sabbath, but He is Lord of every day of our lives. Sunday is a day to prepare for entering the week. And we, on this Lord's Day, fulfill our spiritual needs, show mercy to others, to be prepared to go into the week, strengthened by God Himself on the day He set aside. Jesus is Lord of every day, not of the Sabbath alone. We talked last week about the fact that Jesus changes everything. Like putting a new patch on an old clothes, like putting new wine in old wineskins. It doesn't make any sense. Jesus is radically different. And every part of our life must reflect that. Not only Sunday. We have not fulfilled our obligation to the Lord of the Sabbath if we honor Him on this day alone. But He is Lord of the Sabbath. And Lord of every day, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and throughout the week. He changes everything. The Pharisees wouldn't hear of this. They wouldn't hear of this Son of Man, Lord, even of the Sabbath and every other day as well. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against Him how to destroy Him. They refused to recognize His authority.
They refused to recognize him as the one who was Lord of the Sabbath and every other day. And refusing to recognize his authority, their other option was, rather than to crown him as Lord, seek to crucify him as a criminal. They wouldn't submit to him. They wanted their own way. They wanted their own desires, their own plans for how to live. And they would not submit to the Lord of the Sabbath. How do we respond to Jesus Christ? Do we respond by giving him one day a week and leaving the rest for ourselves? Or is he Lord not only of Sunday, but Lord of every part of our lives? Is he Lord over our children's education? Is he Lord over the work God calls us to do? Is he Lord over our family relationships? Is he Lord over our activities on Thursday and Friday and Saturday night? We either submit to his authority, embrace him as Lord, or we take counsel against him, how we might overthrow that authority. There's no middle ground. Jesus is Lord over all of our lives, or he is Lord over none. We're called to completely, totally submit ourselves to him. And that is evidenced by how we honor the Lord's Day. The way in which we seek to honor the Lord's day is a reflection of how we honor the Lord of the day. Do we see it as a day for our own pleasure? Do we see it as a day for our own delights? Or do we with joy look forward to doing what God has called us to do? To fulfilling our spiritual needs, to joining together with his people, to gathering in worship, to singing his praise, to hearing him speak to us through his word? Do we waste the day in our own activities or give it to the service of others? How we will honor the day is a reflection of how we honor the Lord of the day. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. We've spent one more Sunday, one more day of our lives. Have we today recognized Christ as Lord of this day, as a reflection, as an anticipation of the rest of the week? If we have on this Lord's Day wasted our opportunities, if we have not fulfilled the spiritual needs that we have, if we have not ministered to others, we turn to God knowing he is loving, he is forgiving, we confess our sin to him and he does forgive, and then we go forward, not living another Sunday like this, but preparing to serve him, anticipating even now, 7 days hence, when once again we have the Lord's Day. And we seek on that day even more fully to honor the Lord of the Sabbath. Will we crown the Lord, or will we crucify him and his day? That's the question that Jesus faced. That's the question that he left with the Pharisees. They went out and they would seek to destroy him rather than crown him as Lord of the day. May God give us the grace to recognize his lordship, not only over this particular day, morning to evening, but over every day of our lives and every activity that we have. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do acknowledge that you are the one who has given us your law, and your law is perfect. And yet so often we take that perfect law and we, through our own weakness, begin to construct all types of traditions around it. We ask you would forgive us when those traditions supplant the law. Help us to recognize the glory of keeping the Sabbath day holy. May we do that with joy. May we do that with celebration. Today, may we once again have celebrated your goodness to us in allowing us to gather together to have our spiritual needs fulfilled as you spoke to us through your word. And may we have used the time to serve you, to serve others around, that we truly might experience the blessing of the day. And as we recognize this Lord's Day drawing to a close and the week beginning, we ask you would help us to submit to you as our Lord, as the one who controls all that we do. May every minute of every day, all of our time, be given over in service to you. Hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.